Ladies and gentlemen, welcome once again to the Student of the Game. I am Kyle Nash, the Student of the Game, and here with me in studio, everybody's favorite Outside the Lines man, Weasel Wade.
Yeah, boy.
Stephen Weasel Hurley, bringing it loud and proud like he always does. Hey, a little bit of Pipers this past weekend. That was
word.
Good times. Shout out to Charles Mason being even older. Of course, I'm going to be doing the same thing in a couple weeks, but details. And of course, the local hero himself, firefighter extraordinaire of Sumter County, calling us from the station tonight, Mr. Chris Rankin. What's going on, my man?
And I know, hold on, good to be back. Well rested from that well-needed vacation I had.
Yes, at Six Flags.
Nice.
Which
last Monday I was at Six Flags. Anna, she was afraid of roller coasters when we went out there, and now she's a roller coaster enthusiast coming back.
A roller coaster enthusiast. I was going to make a joke about Six Flags. That's how many penalties you see on secondaries in the NFL in each quarter. But I digress. I don't know. Reaching a bit there, Weasel?
A little bit.
Hey, I'm still polishing up. Okay, we're about to start the preseason this coming weekend. This will be, I think it was said best by Jerry Rice, this will be the last weekend, this past weekend, will be the last weekend of NFL football until February. That's what I'm talking about. No more talking smack about women's tennis on this show. But anyways.
About time.
Yeah, right? Of course, on this awesome edition of the Student of the Game, we will have two of the talented gentlemen of Draft Central, Josh Zimmer and Montel Hardy, with us here later on. But really quick, I want to dive in really quick. And because I have the advantage of a show and a pedestal. Yeah, I know. Okay, fine. Blah, 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 the appeal, blah, 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 Brady Flakegate, blah, blah, he's going to take it to court. Look, if I hear one more person break down the merits of what a deflated ball actually is on the field, I'm going to throw something at somebody. Not so much that I think they're wrong necessarily, but this case is not about the expletive deleted footballs anymore. It's about Brady dodging the rules of the NFLPA and the bargaining agreement and all that. And yeah, so that's basically what it's coming down to. For or against, you're supposed to disclose everything, and Brady didn't, and now Goodell's going after him. There's really, I mean, right, Weasel? I mean,
yeah, it's pretty crazy. They are working off of, instead of the evidence to convict the guy, to say, this is why. A lot of it's, well, he may have.
No. So you're digging way too deep into that part. We've talked about that way too much. We're actually going to talk about legitimate football this week because we got Josh and Montel. I'm not cutting you off. I'm excited for what we got. I love you, homie, but you know I'm right here.
That works.
See? Zero argument from Weasel. That's how you know I win right there. And quickly, we'll mention it too. Weasel had hinted that Russell Wilson's going to get a contract greater than $20 million a year. And that did finally occur with $61.5 million guaranteed. And oh, by the way, the first cap casualty already happening in the form of the defensive tackle, Mr. McDaniel. I'm trying to tell you, it's not like we already called this kind of thing happening. Yeah.
Something I found to be pretty funny is that Bobby Wagner, he sent out a tweet after the contract details of Russell Wilson.
Which was, by the way, retweeted on NGSC Sports Twitter page because my dude Weasel was all over it.
Yeah, and so that day, his tweet said, I think, can't sign everyone or can't keep everyone.
Can't keep everyone. That's everyone.
And then you have the next day or 2 days after, Bobby Wagner signed a deal. I think it's like averages out to be about $10 million a season. And so it's like, kind of a little ironic there. And
Well, it might be ironic, but that don't mean the man is wrong. I mean, you got you got Cam Chancellor holding out. I mean, can't keep everybody. That doesn't mean he doesn't want to be kept.
Yeah,
with a good extended contract. I don't know.
He got paid, so good for him.
Chris, I'll let you put a bow on the Russell Wilson contract thing really quick.
Well, I'm kind of shocked they got done so quickly here before the season.
especially
was coming out of their camp. So I mean,
quickly in quotes, you know. I mean, Russell Wilson showing up to most of camp, so that is one interpretation of quickly. I don't think Russell Wilson was going to hold out because he's an image guy, but by the same token, I hear exactly what you're saying with the whole quickly concept. At least he's making it to camp. So there you go. Okay, I think that'll do it for the contracts and the discussion of paper. Let's discuss some pigskin. The good times all the way around. This week begins the official battery of the Student of the Game prediction shows here on NGSC Sports. And, you know, I've never had two guys on a show before that had both been to camp, so this is a first. But I'm going to go ahead and bring in the first of this first. There's a reason why he does Draft Central, because when he's talking football, it's just like a draft of beautiful beer. I don't know. It works for me. Anyways, Josh Zimmer, welcome aboard, Josh. Good to have you, my man.
Hey, as always, Kyle, it's great to be here.
Hey, you know, I'll tell you what, dude. You're the only talent that I compare to a tasty adult beverage on the air. I hope that holds a warm place in your heart.
It does. Nothing goes wrong with a good adult beverage every now and then. And so being compared to one makes it even better.
See, he gets the vibe. I appreciate that thoroughly. You know, and it's nice that we're mentioning frosty adult beverages. I think it's appropriate that we open up with the Detroit Lions for just this reason. No, not because they're up north and they need to keep warm somehow. I'm not even going there. I'm going to the fact that the Lions defense at one point came out in social media and tried to get us to believe that they're as good as the Seahawks defense. I don't know if I'm that comfortable with that statement, but let's get some music in here. Let's rock and roll this thing. For those who don't know, the way we're going to break this down is this. We're going to give you a team's predicted record for the year within the division and for the year, and let you know who we think's going to win. Basically how this works. Of course, we're starting off with the Lions because, well, I don't know what to make of them, and I have three great football minds to help me out. Chris, let me toss it to you first. I know you're going to go somewhere when it comes to the additions this team's brought that'll make them possibly some sort of a threat. Go ahead.
You know, they were 11-5 last year, 5-1 in division. They have a decent schedule to look at. I mean, when you play against the Raiders and everything, they did lose Dominican Sue and fairly on the defensive line. They added Holodi Nata.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's not like a Dominican Sue, but, you know, still his presence there in the middle will help. They could have done a little more on the defensive side of the draft, but I still think their offense is still pretty good. So, I think they're going to be 10-6 in Division 4-2 overall. I mean, 4-2 in Division 10-6 overall. Sorry.
Interesting. 10-6 for the Lions. Weasel, do you share that optimism?
Yeah. We'll see if it's a different kind of defense without Sue, but definitely getting Holodi Nata was good for him. So
yeah, that should fill the gap.
So a little shaky on their offensive line, but I have them at 9-7, 3-3 in the division.
Splitting right down the middle. Interesting. You know, I have the Lions 3-3 in the division myself, but I see them sweeping the Bears and, well, getting swept by another team. I'm not at liberty to say who that is quite yet, because having two Vikings fans on the phone, I'm going to see what they say first. But anyways, Josh, the Lions, man, what you got?
Oh, well, I mean, Chris mentioned, you know, that defensive line is definitely taking a step back.
Yep.
They've definitely gotten older. You're not going to be able to count on the secondary still yet. They still need to develop. While they were 5-1 last year, they didn't really add any pieces to say that they gotten better. Chicago is going to be obviously the team that people are going to, you know, basically bag this year. I would say they go 4-2 in the division with losses coming both to Minnesota and Green Bay.
Fair enough. Yeah, I don't think that's a bad analysis at all. That's the reason why I couldn't get excited. Chris has them winning 10 games, my man. I don't think that kind of pot is legalized yet in Michigan. I cannot be that optimistic. I have 7-9 for the Lions. I don't think they've added enough. They might have a great defense, but they don't have a Seattle Seahawks-style defense that focuses on solid linebacker play. And as much as I approve of Joik Bell and Theo Reddick in the running back core, that ain't enough. I mean, do they need all that since they have Abron and Pettigrew at tight end with, of course, Megatron at the receiver spot, Golden Tate at the other side. That was a good duo. But still, that team as an environment, as a culture, doesn't do it for me. I got 7-9 for the Lions. 3-3 because I believe they will sweep the Bears, but then be swept by, I'm going to say it, the Vikings. And no, I'm not just saying that because Weasel's across from me and Josh spent his time at the camp. I don't know. I heard the chuckle there. Like, oh, Kyle, you're so nice.
I will say this, Kyle. I will say this real quick. The X factor of that offense could be Amir Abdullah. People are forgetting that they drafted this kid. And there's a reason why he was potentially one of the top backs coming out in the draft this year. He kind of adds a little bit of what Reggie Bush does, but he doesn't really have injury concern. So, Joey Bell is going to be getting the majority of the carries. He already proved that he deserves carries. It's going to really come down to whether or not if Abdullah catches the offense, he could become the feature back, and that could give it another new dynamic than what they previously had over the last couple of years. And it could open the passing game.
Yeah, totally. Well, and actually, I think this is one team that might use the pass to set up the run, which is perfectly okay. Balanced offenses is the key. And this team having three running backs that might split carries doesn't bother me because I'm willing to bet at least one of the two, Reddick or Bell, misses at least four games because that just seems to be how it's worked out the past couple seasons. What can I say? Anyways, that aside, bringing up now Weasel and Josh's favorite team, the Green Bay Packers. Oh, snap. Yeah, that's what I said. Anyways, Weasel. Tell me what it is that you know about thy enemy and how you think they will work in the North this year, my man.
For the Packers?
For the Packers.
Well, they're always going to have that that tough offense because whenever Rodgers is there, you could definitely...
Who?
Yeah. You could definitely depend on him. Eddie Lacy, he's he's turning out to be a pretty premier back. And so it gives them a balanced offense. Defense... I think they're going to be just about par as last season. So, but I do have the Packers winning the division.
Oh, spoiler alert!
Yep,
we're going to get to that part later. Wait! Look, you're a little young to be that premature at this point. That's all I'll say. Anyway, and I agree. The Packers are still going to be good because Rodgers. He's the only quarterback I've seen that has made an offensive line look better than they really are. I said an offensive line because quarterbacks usually make receivers look better. He makes his O-line in front of him look better than they really are. They should be buying him dinner, but then he would be as big as an offensive lineman and just wouldn't work out right. But I'm not impressed with that defense. Maybe Josh can fill in something that they've added that I don't notice, but they didn't really do it for me. Nonetheless, their schedule particularly favorable in my so humble opinion. I got them 11-5. I got them 5-1 in ye old division. Boom. Josh, let me know. The Packers.
I'm going to have to go with Weasel on that one. It's the same. He kind of mentioned a lot of things that are right. Eddie Lacy, they finally do now have a running back that can complement Aaron Rodgers to the fullest, to the maximum. It maximizes that offense. But I do agree with you. The defense, for me, through the draft, at least, I was not impressed at all. You draft three safeties. You drafted a safety the year before.
Right.
You're just basically beating the drum. And that's not your problem. Your problem was in the box. It's hard for me to say, but I think that they could go potentially either 4-2 or 5-1 in the division. Losses would come to either Detroit and Minnesota or just Minnesota. But they are, you are right about Aaron Rodgers completely. Again, kills me to say it, but he is the best quarterback in the NFL right now, in my opinion, just because of what he can do with what he has to work with.
Yes.
And that's always going to be the X factor. If he is 100% healthy, or hell, if he's even 90% or even 80%, you're still playing a pretty damn good quarterback that if your defense is even out of alignment just by half a step, it's going to be six. But that's all I'm going to say. It burns me to say all that. I'm starting to get chest palpitations as we speak. so I won't throw any more sugar to Packers fans out there.
Okay. Well, hey, go ahead. Find yourself your brown paper bag real quick. Get your breathing right. And go ahead and pass it to Chris to put a bow on it. The Packers, who you got?
Well, I got the Packers actually improving over last year. They were 12-4 last year. I got them going 13-3, 5-1.
Wow.
Whoa.
He's friendly this week, folks.
I'm just looking at their. I mean, I'm looking at their teams they're playing against. They get some teams early on in the season that they could beat easily. I have them going 6-0 into the bye week in bye week 7. So.
Yeah, I mean, playing against the AFC West on the schedule, that means you got the Raiders. That means you got the Chiefs. And the Chargers, we still don't know what to make of them. I'm not going to call them easy, but it's, how you say, it's less difficult than trying to play the NFC West. Yes, I know they have them on the schedule as well. But I don't really count the 49ers anymore because, you know, of all the people they shipped out. But worry about the West in 2 more weeks. That's when we're doing that. Anyways. But, yeah. So, by the way, the Packers within the division. I don't think I heard that. What do you got there?
For me, yeah, I got the Packers winning the division. I thought we were going to talk about that later.
No, I said the record within the division.
Oh, the record in division is 5-1.
Okay. There you go.
Only loss is coming to the Lions.
Only loss is to the Lions. Okay, well, fair enough. Interesting. So, with that, the most interesting of all comes up. We're going to talk about the Vikings now. Josh, take us to camp, man. Walk us through it. What is it? Okay, Weasel is here in studio, all right? I told him he went to Vikings camp. Tell him why he should be excited for his team.
Well, obviously, the biggest reason is because he got 28 back in the backfield, and the second reason is that the fans are behind him. I'll tell you one thing. It was absolutely phenomenal to see how the fans reacted to Adrian Peterson when he would step on the field or even when he would be walking off. You couldn't go 2 seconds without hearing, you know, 1,000 of people start chanting MVP. So that's obviously one. But the second, keep it offensively, we have a potential star in the making in Stephon Diggs. Fifth-round pick out of Maryland. This kid is an absolute freak. He's going to push Kerryus Wright for that slot position, but he's also going to be doing some return, in the return game as well. And you have Teddy. You know, Teddy's looked like he's bulked up a little bit. He said he's added about anywhere, 5 to 10. I'm going to go on the offense and say that he was probably around 10 to 15 pounds. He looks a lot better. He looks a lot smarter. Offensively, this team is going to be completely, it's going to be a completely different dynamic than we had last year, having to operate out of a two-back set, basically to have just a little bit of what we could have had with Adrian Peterson's production. Defensively, it seems like everything's starting to come together. Everybody forgets because we drafted 2 defensive ends 2 years in a row. Both of them were pegged as developmental guys. They have basically closed everybody's mouths of saying, all the critics by calling them developmental. They have finally now given Mike Zimmer that 2-deep rotation that he loved within the defensive line to help create some of those packages. You got NASCAR packages or fat packages. The big battles in terms of position battles, the big battles are going to come at middle linebacker. Eric Kendricks has been, shifting between the ones and the twos with Audie Cole. But Gerald Hodges is sneaking in there as well. Hodges got some snaps Saturday night at Family Day with the one in the red zone opportunity. But the majority of it has been split pretty evenly between Kendricks and Audie Cole. Obviously, you still have Anthony Barr. They're working him back a little bit off of that knee injury. He had the day off on Sunday, as would Chad Greenway had the day off on Sunday. Secondary-wise, which was probably the biggest question of the Vikings defense last year, which is no surprise because it's been a question mark for years now. They finally look like under year 2 with Mike Zimmer, they're starting to come together. Trey Wayne struggled a little bit while we were down there during camp, just with some slight things. Saturday, he looked every bit of the part of the first round pick that people pegged him at. Was completely dominant. Had 2, had I believe, 4 or 5 breakups in the red zone alone. Was completely locking receivers down. I don't think Mike Wallace had a catch when he was lined up across from Rhodes, or excuse me, from Waynes. Xavier Rhodes, to keep it with Rhodes, he just could give you a top five corner. At the end of the year, when people are trying to make that list of who's top five and who's not, I am going to say that Xavier Rhodes will be a top five corner. Terrence Newman, the new guy they added from Cincinnati, has basically, it's kind of pegged him as that. So he's extremely impressed with him. And then, of course, in the second, with the safeties, you have Harrison Smith. Harrison Smith has always been a pretty damn good player for them since they drafted him.
Oh, yeah. He was my rookie of the year.
Have a little bit of a battle between Antoine Exum and Robert Plant. But I will say this. There are some rumors floating around. We heard a little bit about it on Sunday when I was down there. The Vikings are, and I'm not going to, don't get too excited about this, but there are potential talks that the Vikings could be trying to trade for a particular safety. I'll let you kind of guess who that is. But I will say he did play in the Super Bowl last year.
Oh, my.
Hmm.
Perhaps if the position of safety were a college, he might be a chancellor? Da-da-da! see what I did there?
That's the rumor.
Not
that
bad.
Kind of swirled around right now.
Well, can we...
It's a great fit.
Wait, you can't drop a bomb like that and get me all excited without letting me respond. Are you trying to paint a picture of the rumor, albeit, that Harrison Smith and Cam Chancellor might be in the same safety core? That's pretty badass.
They might be.
That's pretty badass.
Let me paint it a little bit better for you, all right?
Do it.
Last year, with Harrison Smith, because we had Robert Blanton, we were kind of forced to play Robert Blanton, I would say. he wasn't necessarily allowed to play what we drafted him as. We drafted him to play free safety. To be the safety that plays single, when we want to run single high safety, he's the one that's playing center field. Last year, we couldn't do that with him. We had to run down him on the line of scrimmage because you can't trust Blanton in the box. Of course, I don't know what they were thinking because you can't trust Blanton at the center field safety either. But if you get Cam Chancellor, Chancellor is that type of safety. While Seattle runs a lot of two high, they run straight cover three. So he's always running down into the box. He's used to playing in that area and allows Harrison Smith to basically play where we drafted him. Because if you remember, if anybody remembers, when we drafted him, the year that he was a rookie, the reason he had all the interceptions was not because he had to play in the box, but because they were allowing him to play single high and play center field. In his range, people say Earl Thomas has amazing range. Harrison Smith is just close. So that's something that has been kind of thrown out there. Now, how serious is it? Honestly, can't tell you, but those are some things that have been kind of creeping out over the last couple hours before we departed from camp.
I'll say this, my man. When it comes to rumors, a lot of stuff is speculation because it's convenient. Here's the reason why that actually holds some legs, in my opinion. Do I actually think it'll happen? I don't think so, but the money actually kind of works out. They just signed Wilson. They just extended, within the past two seasons, Sherman, Wagner. I think Thomas got his, too. I don't know. But I know Marshawn Lynch also has a $12 million number this year as well. Weasel was leaning forward in case I missed it. He's got my back. Weasel. So, yeah.
Yeah, I mean it's going to be insane. You got 10 guys. You got 6 guys on the roster making $10 million.
Actually, let me go ahead and let him jump in. He's got something else. Weasel, go.
I got a question about the wide receiver corps for the Vikings.
Yeah, I was going to go there too, but go ahead.
I think it's finally looking stacked with actual talent. Mike Wallace, Jarius Wright, Charles Johnson, Stephon Diggs, and then you have a guy, Cordero Patterson. Mm-hmm. Now, they're going to keep 5 wide receivers in there, and to keep them around, Patterson as a special teamist, because he was seen as the guy that was going to break out last year. And this year, it's like kind of you're thinking, will he make the team or not? Because that's like a number 5 wide receiver. Would you say that they keep him at least for special teams?
Yes. The reason why they're not going to get rid of his contract. I will say this. They did try to shop it. Those rumors of him being shopped were true.
Mm-hmm. They tried. They wanted a second. The only team that called were the Dolphins, and they offered a fourth.
Wow.
So they did try to shop him during the draft. But the rumor is, from who we talked to at camp, they want to keep six wide receivers.
Did you just drop an inside source? That's what I'm talking about.
And their sixth receiver will be Adam Thielen, the D2 kid out of Mankato State, because he is their special team star. He was their best special team last year.
Yeah, yeah, wow. Absolutely.
But with Cordarrelle Patterson, he didn't take not one snap with the ones. He was working with the twos. While he was the outside receiver, to be honest with you, he is, in my opinion, I was high on him, but I am now starting to get to the point where I really could care less anymore. He has not shown any development. He is extremely stubborn. You can tell that there's days where he wants to work, and then there's days where he just wants to be the diva. And when people say diva at wide receiver, it's, the list can go on and on. And I'm telling you, he is that type of person. He is a very diva type NFL type receiver. But he hasn't. The biggest thing with him is he hasn't made any changes. He doesn't run clean routes. He catches the ball as a basket. The only time he will catch the ball with his hands is if he absolutely has to. It's like as if he doesn't feel comfortable doing so. As to where people under him, you mentioned Stephon Diggs. Now, Diggs, while I say he is going to push Jarius Wright for that slot, for that slot spot, had we not had a Charles Johnson or had we not had a Mike Wallace, we didn't add either of those two from last year in this offseason,
right.
He could be a T.Y. Hilton-type receiver. Runs great routes, has great hands, and the thing about him is he's shifting. Diggs is the future of that core. Diggs and Johnson are the future. Wallace has a little bit of age under him. It'll be interesting to see how he everybody knows he was a locker room cancer in Miami. It's the reason why they got rid of him. So it'll be interesting to see how he kind of meshes with the Vikings receivers. From what we've seen on hand, it looks like they all get along. But it's easy to get along in camp. It's a completely different story when you're paying a guy, almost $12 million, and he's not getting football.
Yeah, I get that, man. Absolutely. Before we break into the record breakdown, pop quiz. Weasel, you first. Are you A, more encouraged that Trey Wayans was able to lock down Mike Wallace, or B, are you discouraged that Mike Wallace got shut down by a rookie?
Well, it's always good for the rookies. I mean, I think with Mike Wallace, he's like, ugh, the guy shut me down. I'm just going to go home to my $10 million now. It's like, so
I'm going to go Scrooge McDuck on my vat of money. That's what I'm talking about.
So, but I think grabbing Wayans and Mike Zimmer, I think he's got the good mentality as a defensive coach type of thing. So I don't think Wallace is that concerned with it.
But his thing is, are you disappointed?
I'm not. Okay. I'm not.
All right. See, I was asking. So you're more encouraged by Wayans doing his thing.
I just know that Big Ben, when he was with Mike Wallace, and he had those bombs that constantly go to him, very impressive. I'm just a little bit weary. I don't know how he looked in camp with Teddy Bridgewater on the deep passes, accuracy wise. Also,
I will say this: the deep passes. This offense is a little different. You remember watching Chip Kelly in Oregon, or even Chip Kelly in Philly, how they throw a back, they'll be in the gun, the back will be sitting next to the next to the quarterback, and then he goes out as a, they motion him out. They're doing a lot of that in camp, opening up rocket screens. The deep ball accuracy, Teddy has improved,
good.
But it's the way North Turner's offense is really has been kind of designed since he's been in the league. It's more so trying to create mismatches and creating, those double move type routes, double route tree type concepts, post corners, double moves. He loves running double moves with his outside receivers. Matter of fact, that's where Diggs has kind of shined in camp. Is running those double moves because he can, sink real quick that corner drives and then boom, it's gone. But deep ball accuracy hasn't been an issue. Matter of fact, his touch in the stadium game, you know, when they were playing for Family Day in the night practice, Diggs hit a double move. You know, Diggs hit a double move on Terrence Newman, throws him up. Stacy's playing over the top, and it's perfectly thrown ball. It's about 40 or 50 yard pass.
Nice. That's good. That's what you want
to
see.
Right on the money. You know, Diggs didn't have to move. He didn't have to move his hands. He literally just turned his hands, and that was it. Ball was right there.
Excellent.
So the deep ball accuracy has improved drastically over last year, and a lot of that has to do with because of the weight that he added. I mean, you can see it. You know, when his pads are off this year, you can see that he has definitely been hitting the weight room. Last year, he was basically kind of skin and bones with a little bit of muscle here and there. This year, he kind of does look like an NFL quarterback. You know,
hello.
You see him walking down the street and say, oh, yeah, that guy's probably a quarterback. Or at least he's probably pretty athletic. You know, he has some true definition to his body now.
I'm not just a quarterback. I'm Teddy Bridgewater.
Good to hear. Good to hear.
I just any excuse to do an Arnold Schwarzenegger accent is a good one. Damn it. Anyways. Chris, you got anything for Josh before we head into the record breakdown?
No, I do not.
Oh, okay, there you go. I mean, hey, I can't front. Josh even threw inside sources up in this beast. I think that's a first here on the student of the game. I can't front on that. Can't do it. Anyways, bingo. Josh, this being your team, this being your labor of love, who you got, or what you got, rather, for the Vikings record this year?
For the Vikings record this year, it's all going to be based on the offensive line. I'd say you could go 9-7 or 10-6. They are going to be a wild card team. And then division, they could be anywhere between 3-3 or 4-2.
Okay, I'm taking your first answer on both those because I don't allow anybody, even my guests, to straddle the fence. I'm just saying. Weasel!
Got along those lines, got 10-6 with... I think they can grab a wild card spot, 4-2 in the division.
Chris.
Yeah, I need to see more out of their offensive line, and I don't think their defense is as good as some people say. So there's going to be something that happens during the season that they're going to fall apart. I think they're going to be 7-9, 2-4, same as last year.
I think they come out early in a test against the 49ers, win that football game, and get confident, and that offensive line gels on the strength of that. I like Sullivan and Khalil on that crew. Granted, it takes five linemen to make a line, but anchored by those two, I think at the very least, they're a GEL, a good enough line. I have the Vikings. Weasel, brace yourself. 10-6, 4-2. Busted you your copy in my paper again.
Woot.
Woot, exactly. So, there you go. I mean, okay, so Chris was optimistic for the other two, but whatever. That, you know, that is... what it is, I guess. Something like that. So, at any rate, so this is the part here, and basically it's Montel's fault because he got into Bears camp, I'll be honest with you, Josh. But this is the part where we go ahead and part ways with you. We'll put you on the spot. I'm assuming that you have your, I won't make you say their name, but that Cheesehead team winning the division this year, yes?
Unfortunately, yes.
So, anyways, okay. Well, now that I put you in that great mood, tell all the people where they can find you and the awesome work that you did at Vikings training camp.
Oh, yes, sir, of course. You can follow me at jzimmer_NFL on Twitter. And there's only one place you can find me, and that's ngssports.com.
That is what I am talking about, my man. I expected no less. Actually, follow my dude. It is a good tweet. He has a ton of photos there that were all just a good time all the way around. I, you know, because football, damn it. If you don't know, you better ask somebody. Josh Zimmer, my man. I guess I finished my beer. I see the bottom of the glass and it gets a little bit sad, my man. What can I say?
Hey, always a pleasure. Again, thank you guys for having me on. You guys have a good rest of your show and a good evening.
Yeah, don't even talk like it's going to be the last time either. I'm just saying.
Oh, never. I'm always willing to come back on. You know, you guys know that by now.
Oh, no doubt, man. Okay, hey Josh, thank you very much. You have a good night.
Hey, you too. Bye.
Josh Zimmer, ladies and gentlemen. So before we head into break, Weasel, you sounded genuinely uplifted about your Minnesota Vikings.
Yeah, it's good to hear that extra stuff from training camp. That because online you can read so much, it's like you can.
But when you got a dude quoting inside sources,
hey,
that's the bleep I'm talking about.
Had some good stuff to say.
So. I don't know, Chris. Do you think we're too optimistic with a 10-win Vikings team? I'm just asking.
No, I mean they got the pieces there. I liked how he was talking about with Cordero Patterson. What, you know, with this thing when he was coming out of college, he has what is potential. You know,
That's right.
Yeah, that kind of fits the bill right now.
I see what you did there. I should have seen it first.
That's just an example of why I think potential means that. So I think they should have used him as trade bait. They got rid of him before the draft, and then, you know, with the steal that he talked about with this receiver, Diggs, you know, that they got late in rounds. You know, they got the pieces in place on the offense. They just need the offensive line. And I like their secondary. I just think I'm not big on their front seven.
Okay. Well, we still have yet to do the Bears as well. Montel Hardy will be with us to knock that down. He was at camp after the break, and we'll also mention our divisional winners. I know a couple people let loose the big answer, but you don't know what mine is yet. Or do you? Maybe you guessed. I don't know. At any rate, we'll see you in a minute. Right after the break, you're listening to the Student of the Game on NGSC Sports. You're listening to NGSC Sports Radio. Hear us live on NGSCSports.com, where you can get awesome analysis for all things sport. Or check out our podcasts on iHeartRadio, Spreaker, iTunes, TuneIn, and much more. For our latest videos, head to NGSC Sports YouTube channel. Follow us on Twitter at NGSC Sports and like us on Facebook. NGSC Sports, we never stop. Oh, yeah. You know, hey, maybe it's a me problem. I'll be honest. But when you got one dude talking about a camp, followed by another dude talking about a camp, that would be two camps, by the way, we're featuring here on the Student of the Game here this fine Monday. You play some Autumn Thunder. I'm certain that's written on a stone tablet somewhere, right? I could be wrong. I don't know. Weasel, what do you think? Stone tablet? No? You don't think so? Well, if it's not, it should be. Damn it. Anyways, so maybe that's a me problem. That was the lead that it was a me problem. So there you go. I have my bases covered. At any rate, we have another man stepping in, the member of the esteemed Draft Central, who puts out the kind of material that makes you feel like you just drank a good beer. And, well, if you don't drink beer, then it's kind of like, you know, a nice cool breeze, a draft, if you will. And if you live in a place that doesn't have cool breezes, well, make better life choices, okay? I mean, I gave you beer and cool breezes. If that's not good enough for you, I can't help you. Oh, wait. Yeah, I can. Football. Specifically, Bears camp. My man and good friend of the show here, Mr. Montel Hardy, was in Bears camp. Montel, man, what's going on, bro?
Not much, Kyle. How are you doing?
Hey, you know what? I'm stoked to talk some football. I mean, I've told this story on the show before, but I want to see how you say about it. I think it was about 2 weeks ago. I'm texting with my buddy, EJ Christian, and we're talking about women's tennis. So, yeah, I'm ready for some damn football, okay? That's where I'm at. I think you could appreciate. I'm just saying.
Sounds good to me.
All right, my man. So we talked to Josh about some of the NFC North already, but you know why you're here. You were at your Bears camp. I got to tell you, Weasel's wife is a Bears fan. If she were here to hear this in person, is there anything you could tell her to keep her from being just completely downtrodden about that Chicago squad right now?
The offense looks great.
Oh,
that's what I can tell her.
I see optimism.
Alshon Jeffrey looks the part of a guy who, A, has all the ability, all the natural skills to be a number one receiver, and B, he's also taking a leadership role in practice. He's helping coach guys up. This might be one of the deepest receiving cores I think the Bears have had in a while, and they're probably deeper than their NFC North counterparts, if that means anything. Also, the line is making progress as well. Guys like Charles Leno, Jordan Mills, you know, people were mumbling these guys last year. They're getting a solid showing at guard and at tackle. Also, the backs look good. It's just a matter of keeping the ball out of Cutler's hands and making things easier for him. And oddly enough, the offense looked dominant all camp.
You know, you mentioned keeping the ball out of Cutler's hands. I mean, they obviously had Matt Forte. The running back core, I mean, you know, help me with that. Who in the running core other than him, you know, what do you see there?
Sure. In the offseason and in the practice, Forte worked out with Bears rookie running back Jeremy Langford. They've been doing drills together, and it's been a real encouraging process between those two, as well as likely on the roster you have Quiz Rogers, who will figure his way in maybe as a third down guy. He's got some special tools. He can do a little bit of everything. He might be the third down back for this team. Kind of powerful, catch the ball well out of the backfield. He's still quick and, you know, hard to knock down to be a shorter guy. I'm pretty sure Kadeem Carey won't make it out of camp. He'll probably be released. But look at those three, though, Forte, Langford, and Rogers. This is also saying Dan Thomas gets cut as well. But those three could all see significant touches throughout the season. And I think Forte and Jaquiz immediately will probably have an impact for the Bears with what they can do with the balls not in their hands when they can block. And also, you know, just running these routes.
Yeah, I was very curious to see Quiz's name in there as well. And you mentioned the depth of the receiver core, which I find it interesting. You call out how great they are even without one Brandon Marshall, that elephant in the room. I like their depth at the tight end's spot as well, for all intents and purposes. But let me pass it to my man, Chris Rankin. By the way, I just want to take a moment to mention the running backs because the piece you did on the running back core a few weeks back was pretty solid there. You could probably find it on NJCSports.com. Shameless plug, booyah. But Chris, go ahead, man. Take it to my dude, Montel Hardy. Got any questions for the Bears camp?
You said their defense is depth and improved. How, you know, what remind me of the acquisitions they made in the offseason, because I didn't think they were that great last year.
They made a lot of changes up front, and there's going to be a lot of versatile pieces in terms of the way this game's going to go. If they're going to line up in nickel, that'll be the only way you'll see Jared Allen on the field. So nickel defense, he'll be with his hand on the ground on the edge at his typical spot. And then you'll probably have interior of Eagle Ferguson and possibly the rookie Eddie Goldman. And then on the other end, you'll likely have either Pernoma Fee, he'll switch out of 5-tech, but it's most likely you'll have Ratliff hold down that other 5-tech spot. And then moving back to the linebackers, I can tell you this right now, more often than not, a linebacker, you're going to have Marlon Foster for sure as an inside linebacker. He actually graded out as a top 10 linebacker in the NFL against the run. On your edge, you should have Lamar Houston, who in camp, he trimmed down a whole lot. I think ESPN has him ranked as and listed as maybe 290, 295. He didn't look a pound over 270 in camp. He looked quick, agile, and if you study from a metric standpoint, their numbers have supported that he's most effective running from blitzing, pass rushing, all that from a two-point stance, and the Bears are going to get him back to that. So you have Houston on the edge as a rusher. You have McPhee, most likely, and on some occasions you may have another rotational guy like a David Bass coming in who's made some strides. They'll be on the edge. The question at linebacker and then that front seven is who will lock down that second inside linebacker spot. Right now, it looks like a two-man race between Bostic and McClellan, and we'll see if that goes. Not thrilled with either guy. McClellan looked awkward. He looked shy. He suffers with what some guys, and you know, you guys probably heard of it, you know, broken man syndrome. You know, some of the rumblings and the anger from the fans have got to him. So he didn't seem to look as confident or sure of himself. But physically, he looks as good as ever. Body fat down from last year. Looks powerful. Just looked very hesitant. And kind of shy, not very comfortable with himself yet. Jonathan Bostic, healthy, come off a back injury, but I don't think he flat out knows the playbook. There are a couple plays where it was kind of like, you know, he messed up in coverage and he barked at some of the linebackers, and then three of them looked at each other and barked at him like, no, dude, you screwed this one up. So, you know, it's a work in progress, but what I can see is at least, you know, on that line, they should be just as good as they were last year. I think the key here is the linebacker play, which has to get better compared to last year. And at least on the edge, it will be better.
Yeah, I would have said the same thing about that linebacker core. Most definitely, you know, that's where they needed it. Yeah. So, Weasel, what do you got?
Yeah, a quick question about Kevin White. So he was drafted a top 10 pick, and it looks like he has a shin injury. And what I'm wondering is what have you heard about his like timetable? Is this going to be like a nagging injury type of thing, or is it like he's going to be back in X amount of weeks? What have you heard over there?
Indications came from Fox that he'll probably, I don't think he'll play at all during camp. I think maybe at some point in the preseason. Well, I mean, maybe there's a chance toward the end of the preseason he'll get, in terms of it being in the right shape to run, but even then he'll need the type of route. So I'm pretty disappointed myself. It's hard to come into training camp without your first pick, looking ready to go. I also found that excuses behind it pretty weird. He had a shin injury, so they shut him down, and now he's got to see his cardio back up. The guy's, he's in his young 20s. I don't know how you lose your cardio in 2 to 3 months, and certainly how you don't get it back by the time camp starts. So it's a weird situation, but his progress is going to be slow because we all know he needs to work on his route running. And I think, with each week he's not, doing something on the football field with a coach. He's probably missing out on some productivity in the 2015 season here.
So gotcha. When you mentioned Fox, do you mean Fox Sports or do you mean Coach Fox?
Oh, I'm sorry. Coach Fox. Coach John Fox.
So wait a minute. Is that two consecutive inside source references within segments on the Student of the Game?
Booyah.
That's what I'm talking about. Legit show.
Yeah.
Booyah.
There you go.
No, because, I mean, Josh dropped the inside source line earlier too, man. So you are making history here on the Student of the Game today with two inside sources on one show. That's two inside sources, one sports show. Okay, there you go. That's my next poster. I'm calling it now. My birthday's coming up. I'll have my wife make it for me. It's gonna be great.
Oh boy. Okay. How about that? Well, this is gonna be a heck of a show.
Say, I mean, look, because I got to do something. Because the Bears, from your opinion, seem to be exciting enough to where you don't have to make a cupboard for your grandma instead of watching the football game. So I got to find some new decoration some way. I mean, right?
That's right. I might actually be watching every game now. It's really a new and amazing process of serving last season that I might actually make it through each Bears game.
There you go, my man. So let's go ahead and leave with you. If you had a prediction for the final record for the year for the Bears, as well as their divisional record as well, what's the numbers you got on that, brother?
It was tough. About a week ago before I got into camp, I didn't see 5 wins on the schedule again going into camp and seeing some of the things I've seen. And just the type of coaching they're getting is phenomenal. We spoke just a second about, Kevin White coming in and what he can do. The type of depth they have, Kevin White right now is probably the fourth receiver on the roster. Marquise Wilson looked great. Alshon Jeffrey looked great. And Eddie Royal, for a guy, he's an experienced vet, still extremely fast. Yes. And he's a little bit of a leaper, too, more athletic than I thought. But going back to the record, after seeing the coach and everything, I'm going to give him a couple more wins. I think they're going to be 7-9. I went ahead and said that they'll steal one from Detroit, and maybe Minnesota will overrun them within the division. So that's like 2-4 right there. And then after that, I think maybe they, battle it out. I think they got a shot at being, Kansas City, Oakland. I think that's going to be two good ones. And then they got a shot maybe to beat, possibly to beat either the Chargers, either the Chargers or one other team.
I don't think they're going
right
to beat
now.
The Broncos.
And I think they'll definitely beat the Buccaneers. So that's what, 6-7? Really, really close to 7-9. I'm going to give them 7-9.
See, and I got to tell you, that's if you were a Bears fan who had to watch or try to watch last year like Montel did, 7-9 is quite an improvement. That'll be interesting to see if they pull that off. Weasel Weeds, what you got?
Not as optimistic there. I am at 5-11 and 1-5 in the division. Maybe grabbing one from, like, most likely the Lions.
Chris.
Yeah, I'm kind of being weird here. I'm going to have them at the same record as last year, 5-11, 1-5. I don't think they did too much on defense, like he was talking about. And then also, any offense can look good against their defense. Last year, their defense was the third for the most yards in a game and also second for the most points a game given up.
So third worst in yards allowed and second worst in points allowed.
Do me a favor when you get a chance. Look up Vic Fangio's record and look at what he does with teams in their first year. Just when you get a chance, look it up and see the dramatic changes. I'm not saying the Bears are, you know, great, but just look, if you're going to use last year's stats, look specifically at what Fangio's done with his team in his first year.
Yeah, well, and hey, I mean, I'm glad you mentioned the coaching staff too, because John Fox is a talent as a coach. I mean, this is a guy who had a coaching staff that had Tim Tebow win a bleeping playoff game. I'm going to venture to say that's a less talented quarterback prospect than Jay Cutler. I'll go out on that limb, you know. Anyways, but I'm much like you, unfortunately, but see, this is why we have you on the show. You could be telling us how wrong we're about to be. I didn't share in Weasel and Chris's optimism. I had 4-12, dropping them all in the division. Sorry, Montel. Dang it. See, now I feel bad. But at any rate, I mean, 7-9, I like what you're telling me about the receiver core, because when the new hope is the fourth best receiver, that means you have veterans to help show him the way. That's a good thing, actually. His development may be slow, but I'll tell you what helped me get better as a player personally was having good players challenging me, and being part of a good receiver core like that will lift it all up. I feel good about that. And goodness knows that Cutler needs to have a good surrounding core to have a bounce back. I think he's capable of a bounce back, and these guys will help him do it. So, Montel, because I have you here and you dropped it like you did so nice, including inside sources on Bears camp, it's only inevitable that I put you on the spot to predict an NFC North winner. Who you got?
This is tough, Kyle. And we went through the same struggle last year, but I got to give it to Green Bay again. And I don't want to because they didn't make themselves that much better. I'm not, really in love with their draft selections, but this is a secondary that needs a little bit of help. I mean, you think about, the way that, the secondary went off the deep end last year in the playoffs. Sure, they could use an extra guy, an extra corner, safety / corner, whatever they're going to do. They get slightly better. I think the NFC North would be the toughest division in the NFC. The NFC West, I mean, they still have the Seahawks and everything, but I'm not as sold on the Cardinals. I'm really hoping that, for their sake, Foles will work out for the Rams, but I'm not, and then the 49ers should be just plain bad. No disrespect, Kyle, but, they're in the wasteland right now. The Packers will win it, but I'll say that, because of the competitiveness, and I think Minnesota's going to be really good this year, along with Detroit. Green Bay will need another one. I think they'll need to be 13 to 14 win range to take the division, and I'll say 13. 13-3 will win it.
He matches you, Chris. He matches you. So that's 1, 2, 3, 4 people who think the Packers will win the division. And, of course, the student of the game makes it 5. Everybody thinks the Packers going to win this division, yet I'm being told the North is going to be the toughest division. I love you, Montel. That doesn't compute. You're going to have to help me with that a little bit. No, but I make that joke, but seriously, like, I have the Packers at 11-5 and the Vikings at 10-6. I think they're going to definitely, if nothing else, be the most improved division. I'll give you that much credit for sure. Vikings, though, Josh had a lot of good things to say about them. I'll ask you as a bit more, how you say, objective source, over or under 9.5 wins for the Minnesota Vikings.
I'll say, Josh is my buddy, but I'm going to go under. I think they're at exactly 9. I think they'll go 9-7. That's where I have them. They can catch a break and get to 10-6 or just be extremely healthy at the end of the year. Maybe that'll help them. But 9-7 is about where I have them. Maybe 8-8. It depends on how things work out. But you got to remember, this is a team who a few years back were in the playoffs with really just Adrian Peterson.
Yeah,
I mean, you didn't really have much of a quarterback. Or you had Christian Ponder, he didn't have a very good receiving core. You had Greg Jennings and a couple guys. Then they didn't really have a great defense, you know. I think in terms of them being like a perennial playoff team, they need another year for it to gel. I think 2016 will be their year. But I think the Vikings might just be one of those teams to go 9-7, and it'll be like, you know, what if this dude didn't get hurt? What if that fumble never happened to be in the playoffs? I think, you know, an unlucky bounce, and they'll probably be just out of the playoff race.
By the way, you say you don't want to hurt your friend Josh's feelings. He, too, said 9-7, so there you go.
How about that? I promise. We didn't talk about this before the show, Kyle. This is straight up. I'm looking at the schedule.
I think Weasel fed you the answer because he copied off of Chris too, and he's not even in studio. I'm just. Anyways, so okay, well, dig that breakdown all the way around, but throwing back to your roots as an NGSU talent, you did first cover the AFC North as a writer for us too. So I thought it only appropriate to bring you back home for this edition. Let's go ahead and get to it. The AFC North here, next on the list. And I'll go ahead and start with Montel on this one here. First team on the docket, the Cincinnati Bengals of the AFC North. Let me know how you think they're going to do next year there, Montel. I open with this so that you can open fire. Go.
The Cincinnati Bengals are a team that I think they're in a little bit of a turmoil. They should have a perennial playoff team that, you know, should actually win a game in the playoffs, but that tends to be a bigger struggle than it should be. Seems like they're in the same situation every year, Kyle. I feel like just last fall, I was telling you the same thing. This has to work. Marvin Lewis has to win a playoff game. Andy Dalton needs to be there, not just when he feels like it, not, you know, when it's easy and they're playing a poor team, but later in the year, in December, in January, not in the playoffs, but that would help, but later in the season, heading into the playoffs, step up and be that leader and produce. And I don't know if he can be that guy, you know. Look at this team backwards and forwards, and they had a pretty good draft, but I think the Bengals are going to be a 10-6. I think they're going to be a wild card, perennial wild card team. And I think that, this is going to be a struggle for them to win in the playoffs, but they'll find themselves there again.
Fair enough. Let me pass the ball to an attendee of the church in question that you just said. Weasel, Bengals.
Well, I'm at least going to be looking forward to watching former UCF Knight Bashard Perriman at wide receiver, but looks like they're going to have, you know, a pretty solid offense and defense. They've been improving over the years, so I got them as a you ready for the record?
If you're ready, I'm ready.
Bengals 10-6, and I'll put them at about 4-2 in the division.
Not one single word of Dalton Schmack. I'm a little surprised. Did Montel handle it for you?
Well, what I have is, I think he's been to the playoffs. I think it was 4 years ago. Four years in a row. One touchdown thrown.
Yeah.
Ouch.
You know who hasn't gone to the playoffs 4 years in a row?
What?
Joe Flacco. Anyway. Chris, Bengals, what do you got, bud?
All right, just to correct Weasel, Bashard Perriman's on the Ravens, not the Bengals.
Oh, yeah. I was just making sure.
That's where all the Knights are on the Ravens.
Joining fellow Knight Kamar Aiken, correct?
Ooh.
Correct. The other is here, Kamar Aiken. John Reed, I think, is still there on the offensive line.
Nice catch.
I think there might be one other player there. But
we're talking about receivers, and you just said nice catch. I'll take that as a save. Well played, Weasel.
for the Bengals, they were 10-5-1 last year. I think they're going to be 9-7 this year, 4-2 in the division.
No Dalton hate?
A.J. Green makes him look good, I believe.
A.J. Green would make anyone look good, dude. I'm just saying. Anyways. You know, I make all the jokes in the world about Andy Dalton, and I mean, at this point, you got to ask the question if he is the guy. I think you put it earlier, you know, the ball bounces the wrong way or bounces the right way sometimes determines it, and as Weasel very narrow-mindedly points out the touchdown piece there, he's thrown more than one touchdown. Unfortunately, one of them was to J.J. Watt, so it doesn't count. That being said, God, that was an amazing play, though. Because J.J. Watt. What? Exactly. Everyone also forgets that, you know, Giovanni Bernard had that awful fumble and A.J. Green did drop a touchdown pass as well. But no one wants to talk about that. Something else I want to talk about is Michael Johnson, defensive end, out for the year with an MCL sprain. And you know what? I just don't care. Why? This linebacker mix. Check this out. Vontaze Burfict, A.J. Hawk, Ray Maliuga. And A.J. Hawk might not even be one of the best three. That's a good core. I think they're going to be all right. Oh, by the way, Geno Atkins. Demadepeko. Yeah, them. They might have lost Newman at the corner spot, which I'll admit Terrence Newman is pretty awesome. Still got Leon Hall. Still got a good secondary. I'm not worried about them on defense. And still to this day, the one thing that I think the Bengals are genuinely missing is that number two receiver. I don't know that they have him yet. And without that, Andy Dalton. See, people keep forgetting that Andy Dalton didn't have A.J. Green for part of last year and still won games here and there. I know it was embarrassing that he tied to the Panthers. But, you know, beating the Ravens at home, that was nice. Or actually, Dalton was on the road, but details. Anyways, I match Weasel and Montel, 10-6. I do have a 3-3 within the division, but I just think the receiver core is the problem. I'm going to leave that at that. If there is to be a problem, it's not to say the receiver core is bad. I just think they're the weakness of that particular offense. And look, Andy Dalton has to prove that he can do it in the playoffs. I mean, there's a lot of crunch time going on in the AFC North. There's a lot of divisional rivalry. All those games are big. Yet when the playoff stage comes and that little niche to raise it a little higher comes up, it's too much for him. He's the anti-Joe Flacco. In the regular season, Flacco's a waste of my time. But then in 2012, he goes to the Super Bowl on the strength of an amazing playoff run. You know, it is what it is. Anyways, Chris, I'll start with you so you can make all the jokes you want. The Cleveland Browns, what do you got?
you don't know about the Browns. I like their defense. I think their defense is a little underrated, I believe. But offense is another story. they don't have any receivers. They don't have a good enough tight end anymore. They were 7-9 last year. I think they're going 6-10, 2-4.
Jordan Cameron gone. Josh Gordon basically non-existent now. Because you know, drug stuff. Josh McCown is the guy you have come in. And, oh, by the way, I think Mangiel is going to be a complete wreck. I have Thaddeus Lewis starting by week 10, by the way. I'm going to call that right now, just so everyone can hear me say it. Chris says 6-10. I don't share in their optimism. I see a Tampa Bay-style breakdown in Cleveland this year. I got them 1-15, 0-6 in the division. Hate. Montel, do I have too much hate on the Browns?
Absolutely, and I think you all do. I got them winning this division, guys. I think they're going to do it with a record of 12-4.
Okay, I wish I had a record scratch for the music. I got to stop it. Did you just say the Cleveland Browns?
No, this is real.
Okay, yeah. I'm listening.
I think they can do it.
Go ahead. Tell me why. My bad. I just got surprised.
First off, and guys, you know, look at the schedule. First off, you know, at the Jets, then they got Titans and Raiders. That could be 3-0. I'm willing to bet right now that that's 3-0. I think the Steelers' defense has regressed. I think, you know, they traded for Boykin. That only gives them two playable cornerbacks now. They're rebuilding that secondary, and I think the Steelers will finish on last, and I also think the Browns will sweep the Steelers. We also know the Browns kind of have the Bengals number. But I'm being fair, and I'm saying that they'll go 3-3 within their division. So that's three wins there. That's three wins at the beginning of the season. That's six right there. Look at the back end of the schedule. You've got, I'll count Seattle as a loss, but I think they can beat Kansas City, and I know they can beat San Francisco. So that's two wins. That's eight. And at that point, it's going to be a grind, but also they knock out the Cardinals and find a way to either beat the Cardinals or find a way to beat the new look Chargers or the Rams here. And I think next thing you know, they're going to be at maybe 11, 12 wins. I'll say 11 now. But, yeah, no, I got them there, guys. And as far as how the offense goes, it's ground and pound. I think they're going to run the ball. You got Terrence West. You got Duke Johnson. They're not there for decoration, guys. You got a three-man rushing attack. Those two, Isaiah Crowell. I mean, let's get busy. You know, like, let's, you know, what are we waiting for? You know, they can do a lot worse receiver too than Dwayne Bowe. He's not great, but he's not bad. He's a very average receiver. He's usually not a number one. They got Jordan Cameron. No, they don't have Jordan Cameron. But I think they'll have a team, though, that can score a decent amount of points with a rushing attack and all that. And their defense should be special. I really like Danny Shelton. I think Xavier Cooper was the most athletic three-tech prospect. They're going to have a five-tech prospect at the defensive tackle. Joe Hayden, the secondary. Pierre this year is getting first-team reps. His defense should be untouchable. And I think that's really the premise of what it is. Offense, sure, it does not look very sexy at all, but that defense, even last year, defense was dominant. So this year they'll be better. And they easily have the best defense in the division. So, yeah, guys, sorry. But I've got the Browns. And I got them at 11-5. And I'll tell you this, I don't think the AFC North will be in, like, the tough division like they were last year in the AFC, but yeah, that's why
I'm
the Browns.
I'll agree with the AFC North probably taking a step back this year, definitely. But I'll say this. Like you mentioned, their game won't be sexy. I'll put it this way, Montel. I'm not sexy, but you just told me that a killer shark is attractive. I'm just saying. Hey, weasel, go.
Okay, for the 11-5 record, now will that 11-5 record include one Johnny Manziel?
Say that again?
Johnny Manziel, will he have to do with that 11-5 record, or it's Brian Hoyer?
Hoyer isn't there anymore. It's McCown, kid.
It's McCown. So this has nothing to do with
it. Yeah, I know when people are – I don't think that Manziel's going to be a great quarterback. I think he'll be average at best. And to tell the truth, they don't need a great quarterback play. So, yeah, on paper, I'll say Manziel will be the starter. But he'll leave a game 15-30 for us, 174, a touchdown and a pick. That's all they need from him, and that's all he'll do. And to be frank, that's all Brian Hoyer did. You know that this is how they're going to win games. They don't need anyone great at quarterback. They're going to sit Manziel in the pocket and roll him out. He won't need to complete more than 12, 15, 18 passes a game, and it may take him 30 tries to get there because he's not very accurate. Some of those will be screen plays. I think Duke Johnson is explosive enough to take those a little further than they belong to go. And I think every game they go out and put 17 on the board, they win because no one is really going to put 20 on that defense.
Okay, well, I'll make it a note that Brown fans listen to this edition of the Student of the Game. They'll feel very uplifted thanks to one Montel Hardy. Weasel, wrap us up, the Browns.
That was very bold, very bold.
Yes, sir.
I got him at 5-11, 1-5 in the division. Yeah.
See, so you tried to copy Montel's paper, but you transposed the record. That
flipped it up. Just flipped it.
Anyways, yeah. I mean, I think we all agree the Browns have a good defense. So it's the other
most
part.
Definitely. Yeah.
Because I like their running back core too. I'm not going to lie, Montel. You got a point there. I just, you know, I'd hate to hang it on the quarterbacks, but hey, I'll tell you what. If they are as successful as you say, the way you point out is how they're going to do it. I will definitely give you that much credit, for sure.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Guys, just look at the schedule. I mean, there are 6 tailor-made wins for them. After that, it's a grind, but you got to look at the division. But I mean, look at the schedule. It's really not that bad. It's really not bad at all.
It's not, but the problem being, and you know, I'm not saying this to be silly. Where I'm just giving my version of the analysis, and you can laugh at me and think I'm silly. That's fine. But I know the Browns are in trouble because I looked at the Jets matchup first because it's the first week. And I had more faith in Geno Smith than I did in anything the Browns had. I'm just saying. That, and maybe that's a me problem.
I mean, that's fair. That's fair. And that's funny because, you know, the outlook isn't all that bright for Geno. But I get it. Geno wasn't in rehab last offseason. So that's completely fair.
I didn't even take it there. See, this is how real Montel is. He's like, yeah, I'm being bold. What you going to do? Exactly. Listen, Montel Hardy, doing it. Anyways, now, Montel, I'm not going to have you go next because I know how excited you'll get. I'll hand this one to Chris first. Ravens, what do you got, brother?
Yeah, I think the Ravens are going to take a step back this year with the loss of Hoody not in the offseason and also with the injury to safety Matt Elam.
Yes.
The only thing they got going in their favor, really, is their bonus game this year. They have the Jags and the Dolphins. but I have them actually losing both of those games. I have them going 7-9 overall and 2-4 in a division.
Losing to the Jacksonville Jaguars? I'm not even that pessimistic. I mean, I know it's your boy Bortles, but
okay. The Jags defense is a little better than people think, and then also with the addition of Julius Thomas there on offense, they won it after some offensive linemen as well. And then Bortles the second year there, and then also with the addition of the rookie running back, there also will kind of help out.
Fair enough.
We'll talk about that in a week.
That we will. That we will. Weasel.
Now, here's the shout-out to the former UCF wide receiver, Bashard Perriman, with the Ravens. Now, I got the Ravens.
Kamar Aiken, boom.
I do have the Ravens. They're going 9-7. Defense, you know, you did mention Aloni Nada. How's it going to be without him? We'll see. But Justin Forsett, is he the answer running back? I don't know.
I think he is. Forsett's a good back. I agree. Can he stay healthy is really the question.
So, yeah, he was something that I was wondering about because he was a surprise last season. I didn't expect that. So
I knew he'd do well. I'm shocked he did that well. Hey, this is a guy, like, for those who remember Aaron Stecker playing, you know, as long as he did perennially with the Saints and the Bucks, and then I forget his name now, but another running back who basically was a preseason hero 1 year, got the start, you know. Forsett is this kind of guy. If nothing else, he's a good story, and I like what he does on the field. What can I say?
Yep, 9-7, 3-3 in the division.
Montel, Ravens, what do you got, bud?
Yeah, if I can do this all over again, I might have taken that playoff shot away from the Bengals before. I even say here their schedule is of similar ease, but I'll say they'll go 9-7 because I'm not convinced that defense is ready to absorb the loss of Aloni Nada. And just speaking in terms of defense, they're improving. I think that back four is starting to look better, but I think this is the year they kind of realize they really need to retool themselves, and they've got the draft picks to do it. But right now, I think they're going to be an 8-8, a 9-7, and they'll probably be on the outside looking in, solely because the defense, they're just getting away from their identity. You know, C.J. Mosley's getting better, but they're just not dominant the way they were a couple years ago, and their running game just isn't there, even though I like Forsett. I just think he's not the type of guy you can give Ray Rice a number of touches to and expect him to kind of carry you through.
Yeah, exactly.
And so they're going to hang Flacco out to dry. But I think for the first, based on the schedule, I think the first few weeks of the season, Flacco may be an MVP discussion. I don't know, Kyle, but with Rashard Perriman and all that, I think his QB rating is going to be sky high for the first few weeks. And then maybe we'll come back down a little bit. But I think he is going to have his best year yet. He's technically going to have to, I think, if the team's going to compete, because that defense is probably going to give up some points.
He's not going to be the top quarterback MVP candidate, and he's not going to beat out J.J. Watt. Don't play that mess with me, Montel Hardy. Don't do it.
In the discussion. I'm just saying there'll be some talk, you know. Because no. In that mix of games will be a 3 or 4 touchdown game, Kyle. Probably a 4.
Just like there'll be a 3 or 4 now. Interception game in there as well. Maybe a 5. I'm just saying. It happened last. No, but I like a lot of things, you know, I like a lot of things you said there about it. I know they're going to miss Aloni Nada. I like Chris Canty as a fill-in there. He's not a bad choice, but he's not Aloni Nada. That's my dude. What can I say? He's awesome. And the linebackers themselves will also see a bit of a decline in their performance. Why? Because Aloni Nada is not there swallowing blockers. C.J. Mosley, by the way, unanimous Rookie of the Year for the Student of the Game panel last year. But he's there. Sizzle's getting older. They won't have a good secondary protection over the top with Elam out. I mean, you know, it's going to be rough. I see him taking a step back, but I see that 9-7. On the year 4-2, on the strength of the schedule, as you very wisely pointed out, sir. You know, you got the Jets on there. I see them losing to the Finns. I don't share in Chris's pessimism that they'll lose to the Jags, but who knows? I don't know. 9-7 in contention for the wild card, and it'll be very interesting with my standings who comes out of the AFC, and we're only one geographical area of the country in talking up the north here. But we'll wrap it up we'll let Weasel talk about his second team, the Pittsburgh Steelers. Weasel, Weasel.
All right. So, Steelers, 10-6 last year. They 11-5, and they won the division. But there's a guy, Dick LeBeau. He
that guy.
Yeah. He's the defensive coordinator for, say, about 15 what? Years or something like that.
Closer to 50.
Yeah. He's been there for so long. 3-4 defense. And the thing is that he actually stepped down and went over to the Titans. So in steps in Kevin Butler now. So the guy has been there since 2003 as a linebacker coach. They may mix it up because with a cover two, which is Mike Tomlin's expertise. So the draft, they pretty much went defense. It's like Alvin Dupree. Everybody was that pick. It was like they just fell to them there.
Thank you. I think the Niners should have got him, but I digress.
They got Sanquez Olsen. And so they're building back that up, that defense, which you wouldn't think they won the division with when about half of the main defensive stats were they were in the bottom half, yards allowed and some others.
Not typical for them, yes.
So Troy Polamalu, Ike Taylor, both retired. So when you go to the offensive
don't
side,
your
though.
Boy Brent Kiesel as well.
Kiesel,
homie.
That's yeah. Right. So, but the offensive side, I mean, they lost Le'Veon Bell for two games, but. Big Ben's there. You got Antonio Brown. And so the offense, I think, will be fine. I have them at 10-6.
Don't forget about your dude, Martavius Bryant, either.
That's one of those guys that people are going to be that if you're looking for a sleeper in a fantasy draft, Martavius Bryant is gonna, one of the wide receiver. Second or third year, I believe.
Second
year.
Fantasy!
He's going to be someone to look for later on. So... and with Le'Veon Bell back, it'll be just like towards the end of last season. So 10-6, 5-1 wins the division.
When you want to run the football, Le'Veon.
Yeah.
Steelers, Chris, what do you got?
Yeah, I got them going 10-6, 4-2 in division. Always division games up there in the north are a little tough. They luck out by getting the Patriots in week one without Brady there, so I mean that's gonna be an easy, I think it's gonna be an easy win for them there, but you know they're still gonna be like the team to beat in the north there. So 10-6, 4-2.
You know, I know the schedule is favorable, but that division is tough to pick, and moreover, the division rivalry I like to watch every year. Yeah, I mean, I know, first of all, credit to Montel's Bears. They are a member of the oldest rivalry in the NFL. But, man, nothing gets that black and blue bruising football going like Steelers-Ravens. They could both be, like, 4-12 teams on the year. I'm still watching both those games every flipping year. If you read the matchup mania during the season that I write on NGSCSports.com, you know I will always have that featured the week leading up to it. And it's going to be one of those games that barely keeps the Steelers out of the playoffs as they go 9-7, 4-2 in the division. There you go. Montel, your take on the Steelers. Put a bow on it, my man.
It's going to be tough. Like I said, they open up against the Patriots, against the Niners. I mean, they'll get some good wins on the schedule, but I think the certain number of wins is going to take to within their division to be competitive in terms of playoff push is what's going to hurt them. The Bengals are going to be what everyone's saying they're going to be. The best they can do is split with them. I told you guys I didn't give them a chance with the Browns, and I think at best they can split with the Ravens. So right there, that's 2-4. So four losses off the bat, and like I said, they play the Colts, the Patriots. It's going to be rough going for a defense that's rebuilding. Like I said, I got them at I'll give them 6-10. I think towards the end of the year or the middle, maybe they'll show some signs of life, but they're completely rebuilding this defense. The secondary is a work in progress. But good news for Steelers fans, they'd probably rather get, you know, straight up just shot in the face rather than, you know, three gunshot wounds to the chest. You know, don't let them bleed out slowly. Enjoy this one terrible year, rebuild your defense, and then come back stronger than ever, and I think that's what they'll do.
You know, and I like the point you made there, Montel. I mean, this franchise, the Pittsburgh Steelers, okay, 50 years, that's 5-0. How many head coaches have they had? 3. That's stupid. We know some teams that have three coaches in less than 3 years. I'm just saying.
Are you throwing a little shade at my Bears here? What is this, Kyle?
Oh, no. I actually wasn't, but, you know, now that you mention it, that's dead. Yeah.
That hit a nerve.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, you saw me. If you didn't see me on Twitter, I love the John Fox hire, my man. So, you know, I don't want to hear all that. I got excited for your team in 2016. I didn't say anything about 2015, but 2016, I'm real excited for the Bears and John Fox. I'm just saying. Okay, that might have been a shot.
Fair enough.
Team.
Absolutely.
Yeah, my team sucks right now, too. It's okay. So with that, our winners, I know I have the Bengals winning the division, albeit by one game. Weasel, who you got winning the division? You got the...
I got the Steelers at 10-6.
You got the Steelers at 10-6. That's right. Montel has the Browns. You know what? Go on, my man.
I mean, before the regular season, I think that would be a good one to take a bet on.
A
friendly bet. So
I don't like stealing money. So
you can bring me back on the show and humiliate me if it all blows up in my face. I'm here for that, Kyle.
You got to be. You got to worry about. Because you already have that whole Flacco thing with me. You got to worry about Weasel on this one, bro. And then, Chris, who you got winning the division here? Looks like you got the Steelers.
The Steelers.
Yeah. All right. So, we got two people on this panel that see the Steelers taking a step back, but not a very big one. See, the 6-10, I can't front there. That defense does take a step back, but I believe the worst has yet to come for the Steelers. I think 2016 is going to be rougher for them because they'll start to lose the linebacker core a bit as well. And they still have a good linebacker core, which, you know, in my school of thought, see, I'm a student of the game school of thought, linebacker is where it starts for defenses, especially if you're the Pittsburgh Steelers. But enough about all that. Let's go ahead and wrap this show up. Montel, great having you, man. Tell the people where they can find you.
Sure. Thanks for having me, Kyle. It's always great to be on the show with you guys. Weasel, Chris, it's been real as always. You guys can find me on Twitter at Montel NFL. That's MONTEL, capital NFL. And as usual, you know, post everything to the site. Got some Big Ten stuff up there and some Bear stuff.
And maker of history on this show, being the second of two inside sources cited in one episode of the Student of the Game. Booyah.
All right. Yeah, there you go.
Thanks a ton, Montel. Appreciate it, my man. Thank you. We'll see you next time. Okay, there you go. The Browns. I don't know.
Bold.
Chris, what adjective best fits for the Browns prediction there?
I want to know what he had on before the show because, 11-5 with the Browns? Jeez.
Apparently, it's a little bit stronger than Wheaties. I'm just saying. Anyway.
It rhymes with seed, and he's been hanging out with his NFL player a little too much.
Oh, boy. Yeah. I don't know. I can't. You see, he believes in it so strong, I'm afraid to talk schmack, because then if I'm wrong, I have to have him on the show, and then he'll get to, you know, gloat, and, you know.
You know, two years ago, I took the hit on them, because I thought they were going to do well 2 years ago, and look what happened.
I tried to warn you on that, too. I can't help you there, bro.
I've stopped trying to try to make them look good.
So, anyways, that'll do it for us on, it was a little bit longer version of the Student of the Game, but you know what? Because good times. That's right. Two guys, both coming from NFL camps, continued evolution here at the Student of the Game, bringing you football talk just the way you like it here on NGSC Sports. Of course, check out the website, www.ngscsports.com. Yeah. Dig it. Love it. Know it. Be it. Of course, check us out on Twitter. That's Weasel Weez.
Yeah, boy.
At Weasel the SOTG. Of course, find Chris Rankin on Twitter at Hydraulic Upright, UPRITE. And then, of course, myself, the Student of the Game, at the SOTG. I'm Kyle Nash. And great times all the way around. Next week, We talk up, what is it, the South? Yes, it is. With, oh, I'll have Jamie Council, who is also of Draft Central as well. Good time there. She'll have the breakdown on the AFC South. But until then, class dismissed.